Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday!
Happy Saturday, VE community. Woo! We have made it to season 9 finale.
So excited.
Yes. And y'all, we got an amazing special guest in the building this week. So we are so excited to dive into this one. For those of you that may not know, this is the amazing Anike, formerly known as Wande. So we got a lot to talk about. But first up, how are you ladies doing? How are y'all doing?
I'm doing good, you know.
Yeah.
Productive day, you know. Relaxing at the same time.
Ooh, yeah. Productive and relaxing. I need that.
Rare.
Yeah. I need that.
I'm ready to unplug.
Okay.
Yeah. It is time. I'm counting down. Next week, I have a conference with our executive director. And then finally, Thanksgiving break.
Yes.
So a week off. Yes, I cannot wait.
It's coming, y'all. I can't believe, like, the holidays are literally like
that came so fast.
Very. So 2024 is coming to a wrap, okay? If you're watching this live, you know we are, like, counting down the weeks. So make sure y'all finish strong. That's all I'm going to say. Like, finish strong. If that means resting and making sure that you enter 2025 sane, then rest. If that means you got a couple more things you need to check off your list and, you know, be intentional about it, but make sure that you are, finishing strong. So, but yeah, without further ado, we're going to dive on in. So, you want to read? Yeah, we'll introduce us.
Yes. So I have the pleasure of introducing Anike. So discover the groundbreaking sound and influence of Anike, a true trailblazer in Christian music. Recognized as the first female rapper to achieve major commercial success, Anike has left an indelible mark on the industry. As the initial Christian rapper to tour alongside icons like Lecrae and having collaborated with artists such as Toby Mac, she's a pioneer with a unique blend of hip-hop, R&B, and pop. Her historic journey includes being the first female artist signed to Reach Records, a powerhouse indie label that birthed Christian hip-hop legends. Anike's accolades extend to features on Grammy-nominated projects, the Billboard number one album, The Mav Way, and recognition by leaders such as Michelle Obama and Kirk Franklin on the Public Inspiration playlist. Beyond streaming, Anike showcases her versatility with features in ESPN and Apple commercials, and she's graced stages like Essence Festival. We were there. That was awesome. On the TV show Girl Talk on TBN, she reflects her commitment to empowering women in their spiritual journey. Anike's influence transcends music as she uses her platform for fresh perspectives on faith through engaging live talks and comedic content. Videos like Hallelujah Roll Call have amassed millions of views, showcasing her ability to connect in meaningful and entertaining ways. With millions of annual streams on Spotify alone, her dynamic and empowering catalog continues to inspire. Meet Anike, a true visionary shaping the future of Christians' engaging culture. So we are so excited to have Anike here.
That's a mouthful. How do you feel like listening to
it? No, it's like listening. I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen. It just is an honor, honestly, like to be used as a vessel for God. Because like, if I recount all those things, I'm like, wow, that is true. It's true. Oh, that is true. And so it's really just cool, like, to get to experience it. Yeah.
That's dope. God is faithful.
Yes, we're so excited.
Yes.
Last time we saw you, I believe, was Essence Festival.
Yes.
And was that last summer?
May of 2023.
Okay. Yes. 2023.
We have a segment called What Had Happened Was. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we talk a little bit about when we may have first met you or passed cross, which you may or may not remember, which is perfectly fine. We just like to explain stories and be like, well, this is what had happened. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You can start.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back a little bit, and I cannot remember what year this was. This had to have been either right before or right after you signed to Reach, because you were on staff with Reach, right?
Yeah, before.
Okay, so I think this is when you were on staff, and I was sitting in, you were being interviewed on TrackStars. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in on the show, and you just came in like this light, just bubbly, just energized person. And I was like, who is this? But you were so polite to everybody. You're like, hi, how are you doing? And I was just there like, I'm good. I don't know you, but I'm good. And you like literally just lit up the room. And it's amazing because shortly thereafter, you were everywhere. You like blew up. And I was like, oh my gosh. That's the girl that I was just talking to. But I just love your authenticity and your humility. So I was like, that's amazing. And then I would say the second time that our paths crossed was when LaToya was talking about was when you were at Essence Fest last year. So we were there repping and trying to, you know, just get our name out there, start becoming Eva. And so we saw you actually walking around. We were like, oh, can we get a picture? But you killed it. You killed it on stage with Erica Campbell and D1. Like, it was an amazing performance. So we were just excited to see you on the stage, like, repping the Kingdom of God.
Yes.
Like, so that's what happened to me.
And I remember the audience. I felt like the audience was a little stiff. But yeah. We were jamming with you back there. They were a little stiff. I was like, why are they so stiff? Yeah. They were. But I remember a birthday party. Yeah. I think I went to your birthday party. And I think your hubby gave you some pink shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was there. I think TrackStars was like doing a live radio show or something.
Yeah.
But I remember the birthday party.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, fun times. Yeah, I actually remember like coming down here for TrackStars too. Yeah.
But I think I'm a fan, so I was just like, oh wow, I get to be on TrackStars.
So, yeah, so I was just happy to be here, just living life. So.
I love it. It's been amazing to just watch the glow up and how you have just remained steady and grounded in the midst of all of it. Like you were saying, you just a vessel, but it's been amazing how God has been able to use you as a vessel to just like reach masses. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna get into it. I'm excited.
Yes, I love the origin story and like the backstory of hearing artists share things. Like, can you share with us a little bit about what it was like growing up in your family, your childhood, and you can kind of transition us through how you met your husband and different things like that.
Yeah. So growing up, I mean, life was like nice in terms of like, I had nice parents, and I feel like now as an adult, I realize how good of a job they did at like, not making me realize like, oh, we ain't had that much money. So I would say like they did a good job of like just, you know, restraining themselves from overspending and just being like, hey man, the money is going towards groceries and cable and the light bill and all that stuff. So I'm really grateful to my parents for like just like caring a lot about us, you know, and just like trying to help us out with the best opportunities possible, like with whatever they have. So I would say that was like kind of that experience. But then like on the religion side, it was definitely interesting because like my father is a Muslim and like 90% of my family, and then my mom is a Christian. So growing up, I didn't really understand faith all the way. I thought, like, oh, you can do whatever you want and like live your life. Until like basically I got older. So in middle school, I feel like the Lord started to actually like speak to me. So luckily we were allowed to go to the church with my mom. So Sunday school, like those things started like actually ministering to me. And the Lord actually did it first through music, ironically. So through music, he just like was telling me like, hey, he started showing me that this music that, you know, is in the world ain't the best. So at that time, it was like Lil Wayne, Young Money, all that stuff was like was popular. And so I got convicted of like, I need to switch this up. So I looked at like Christian remixes on YouTube, and there actually was people who were doing them, and they're pretty good. So that was like level one. So back then you had the MPD player, iPod, you had to like, you know, manually put them on there. So I manually put the Christian remixes on my thing, and that's what I was listening to. But then, you know, like maybe day two, I actually found actual Christian rappers. So then I found like Lecrae and Trip Lee. And so Lecrae had a song called Praying For You at that time. And so, yeah, I, it really like it was really convicting, like his message. And so I really like was inspired by it. And so I got really into 116 and like just even like everything they had at the time, like Rapzilla, all that stuff. So I really got into like Christian rap because I was like, oh, finally, like real Christian music that's like rap, like that I can listen to and like replace what I was listening to. And so I became a fan. And from there, they really influenced me. And then I found out they were coming to Texas. And so it's so funny. They're coming to this camp that my church would go to, a summer camp. But ironically, I was never allowed to go to summer camp. So my dad would allow us to go to like Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right? And beyond that, he's like, hey, that's much. Yep. So my mom was like, hey, you're a bold kid. So we convinced your dad to go to summer camp. That's on you. But she's like, I don't know beef with my marriage. So she was kind of like, you know, that's on you. So, you know, being a little spunky kid I was, I was like, oh, hey, dad, you know, for teenagers, this camp has an internship. You know, it's great for college. And he was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I was like, yeah, he's smart. He's like,
they were like, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, whatever. So, and then I was going with my friend too. So, my uncle from church, he took me and my friend to the teen camp to be interns. And so, so when you're an intern, you serve. Mm-hmm. So, you serve the younger kids and stuff like that. And so, you have a job. Like, it's crazy. But it was really beautiful because during that time serving, it's a week long. I end up getting saved on day 3 and give my life to Jesus for real, for real. So I think before it was conviction and like, oh, I want to be a better person. But then that was like, nah, like understanding the gospel, giving my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then Lecrae and them actually come on like on day 5 of the camp. And it's so funny because I don't even know I can rap at this time. I'm just like a fan.
Wow.
And it's funny because I wanted to meet them and I didn't get to meet them because my friends who were serving with me, they were like, oh, this line is super long. So let's go on the go-karts and come back. Let's go on the go-karts, come back. And then they're like, oh, sorry, the line is closed.
Oh,
so they're like, you can look at them, but you can't talk to them.
Oh, no.
And so we just had to like watch other people in line, like get to meet them and stuff. And I was like, ah, and they were like, I'm so sorry. I know that's why you wanted to come to camp.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, but it's funny how like God like foreshadows it full circle. And so fast forward from that camp, my life has changed, transformed. I go back home, I'm like, yo, dad, man, I encountered Jesus. Like, you gotta know about this. It's crazy. Like, it's changed my life. And then I even saw people get healed. Like, people who I was on the go-karts with broke their legs. I saw God heal their legs. They're jumping and worshiping. It's crazy. So I'm like, dad, you gotta see this. It's crazy. And then he was like, no, I'm being brainwashed. Like, it's not real. And he's like, oh, man, I didn't want to go to summer camp. I didn't know it was like a stage camp. Like, I thought it was just like education.
You tricked me.
And then he was just like, oh, no, I don't want you to go to church anymore. So actually, I wasn't allowed to go to church anymore for like a minute. And so one thing's really cool is my mom was a really good advocate. So like she like used her wisdom and then like advocated for me as well. So after like maybe like 6 weeks of like not being able to go to church, then I just started going with her. But she was a nurse, so we'd go every other week. But then on the weekends that she was working, because when you first get saved, you just want to know, like, want to know more, learn more. So she actually took me to work with her. And so I would go to work with her like 5 o'clock in the morning. And then my uncle would pick me up, take me to church so that way I could learn more and like, you know, understand the gospel better. And it was just crazy. Like that was kind of like how that journey started. And so from there, I just was really dedicated to like living for Jesus. Like at school, that's what I was known for, talking about Jesus. You know, telling other kids about Jesus. Luckily, the Lord, like, I prayed for, like, friends who, you know, loved him, and he sent me them, like, after, like, a year, and so they were super supportive, too, and so we would just go around telling people about Jesus. Like, I've seen a Bible study that we were able to, like, be a part of and start with, like, 5 kids in the kitchen, and it blew up to, like, 300 kids in, like, the whole school. Like, it's crazy. And even, like, the principal was like, you know what? I don't know what y'all doing. Here's a student activity fund. Here's money. Like, if y'all need pizza, here's pizza. If y'all need t-shirts, just keep the kids doing it. Because we were known as like the school that people got stabbed at, people got shot at. Mm. But then after that, like, it transformed. And then we were known as like a quality school. And so he was like, yeah, keep doing that. And so it's beautiful. Like, it felt like being a disciple. I was like, oh, so it's like being a disciple. Like,
It is.
So it was really beautiful, and like, so like that was like kind of like my encounter. And then along that journey of high school, God shows me I can rap in the middle of that. And so then I just started saying like, okay, best, so I'm getting all this attention from rapping, let me just tell you about Jesus while rapping. And so that's kind of like how that journey started. And one day I did like a talent show, I just saw the room explode, and I feel like the Lord was like, I want you to use this like beyond just the cafeteria, but I want you to use this to like really empower my children, inspire my children, like inspire them to come follow me. And I was like, at first I actually was afraid, Because
I'm Nigerian as well, fun fact. And so in Nigerian culture, they want you to be a doctor or a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I would try, but I was like, God, I don't know. Because like my whole life was built up to like go to medical school. Mm-hmm. I was like in the Health Science Academy in my like high school. Mm-hmm. And even my teachers were like, oh, yeah, you're excited to like be a biology major? And I'm like, God's like,
not really.
How did you? But he actually showed me in a dream, mm-hmm. like, hey, if you don't do this, it's going to get done. So you want to be a part of my plan or not? And so that after that, I woke up and I was like, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And so I became bold after that, and I was dedicated to the mission. So fast forward to college, I became a communication major, and just doing that. Also, mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm interviewing people, interviewing artists while doing the artist thing, like, on the side. And I do an internship at Reach my junior year. I thought I was going to get signed immediately. That didn't happen.
You don't know what it says, Craig. Yeah. You don't know what it
says. Yeah, so I come back home after my junior year, but they actually offered me a job. And so I finished my senior year, they offered me a job. So immediately after graduating, I worked there. Mm-hmm. 6 months working there. So every day I'm like, oh, I don't know. And so I actually ended up dating Darius in college, my husband. Oh. And so I'm calling him after I graduated, like, I feel like God's gonna be a rapper, but you know, they have me working for rappers, but you know. And I'm just so confused, but it's really cool because now I can reflect and I can see that God was using that to refine my character, to teach me about the music business. Yes. And so it was a blessing in disguise. And so 6 months into working there, I get offered a contract, and then you know I encountered you probably around month six. Who knows? And then that's like when things change. So after I got offered the contract, we negotiated for like a couple months, and then 2019 I officially joined and became a part and started my journey professionally, like rapping. And so
I have to ask, since your dad was hesitant with you even, you know, being a Christian and being saved and going to teen camp, how did he take the news of you being a Christian hip hop artist?
I think it's just kind of like, so one thing, it's so funny. So I got my hair done. It's so funny. I'm gonna show you how it relates. I got my hair done actually recently for like the Dove Awards, and the ladies there. I was at this African shop, and they were playing with me, bro. Like everybody was fighting over, like, oh man, I'm too tired. I don't want to do your hair. Oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to do your hair. And like I couldn't fight because it's not my shop, so I just had to sit there. And I was like, Jesus, please have someone help me because I had to do the Dove Awards. I need my hair done, bro. Like
they really playing with you. Yeah, like
but then this lady texts me at the end because someone actually does my hair at the very end after like sitting there for 5 hours. And she was like, you're the most resilient person I've ever met in my life. And she was like, you know what? I guess I paid off being resilient for you. But I would say that's kind of like my father. Wow. I'm like, I guess it's a gift of being resilient and like adamant, like, nah, we're going to do this to where he just was like observing, like, this girl is not going to take no for an answer, bro. Like, and she's like, she is really believes about the Jesus thing. So all he just did was observe, but I think consistency too. Mm-hmm. Like I used to get made fun of though by my siblings, like, oh, you about Jesus now, you don't want to see the music no more.
Wow.
Oh, like you want me to turn off the music in my car now? Like, so yeah, I remember at first I graduated, I'm mature, but I remember at first I used to like cover my ears and like, my brother listens to my crazy.
Hey, ain't nothing.
How many siblings do you have?
I have like 4 older siblings.
Like, okay.
Baby.
Yeah. Oh man, they probably teased that real hard too, because he's the baby.
Yeah. But yeah, he just observed, like, she's not backing down about the Jesus stuff, man. Wow. So after a while, it was a joke. But then he used to be like, once I got older, be like, oh, Sunday, you gonna go to church now?
Oh,
like,
snap.
Yeah, and so well, it's cool because now as an adult, I can have, like, faith conversations with him. So I've actually been asking him more about his life story. And I feel like now having those conversations about, like, his life story has given me more insight into, like, why he believes what he believes or like where things came. So now it's just like kind of just ministering, evangelizing, doing life, loving people properly.
Yeah.
And so from there, whatever the Lord wants to do. So
is it just you and your mom that are the Christians in the family?
Yeah, pretty much. So I would say everybody else is a lifestyle Christian, but not actually saved. And so, but yeah, so that's pretty much it. And then everybody else beyond, like, so my siblings are lifestyle Christians. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else, like uncles and stuff, are pretty much like Muslim, pretty much. So
that's such an interesting dynamic. But for you to like stand your ground, it's like honestly, like you were a part of the persecuted church, like in the United States, like you like trying to get in the services and you know learn the word, you know, however you can, and at the same time being persecuted, honestly, in your own family. So that's amazing. But at the same time, I feel like that's one of the reasons why God was able to move so powerfully, because like the desperation was there. Like mm-hmm. it was like, oh, I can use this. Like you need me. You're yeah. reaching out to me. So that's huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like the music was important too, because I mean that back then it's so funny, you know, we love Lecrae through all his eras.
Yeah.
But back
yes.
then he was in his era like send me, I'll go. It's like, yeah, God mm-hmm. send me, I'll go. And so I feel like that even encouraged me as well, like yeah. to not, even if I was being persecuted, especially because of the unashamed movement, amen. Just to be unashamed and be like, you know, I'm unashamed of the gospel. And like yeah. that even helped me to have more confidence, like even in my yeah. home and stuff, or like getting punished. So I have my headphones, be unashamed of the gospel, love your parents. And so those different things actually really just helped me, like legitimately, because it's like, ain't nobody yeah. who I know my age for real, like trying to love God for real, besides yeah. like whenever I met my friends a year later. So all I had was my Bible, that music, and then the times I could go to church maybe once or, mm-hmm. you know. So,
but you know him. That's how you know him. Now, I have to ask about this whole full circle thing with Lecrae here. Mm-hmm. Now, when you first started interning, I'm not even going to say when you started working here at yeah. Hammer Arts, but when you first started interning at Reach, I mean, like you said, this is somebody that has impacted your walk as
yeah.
a Christian. And, you know, you were trying to meet him or see him at the camp and everything. Like, did you have moments when you were enamored? Like, oh my gosh, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember, because we were working on the opposite side. I remember whenever he would come over and maybe have a conversation. I remember then I would go over after he was gone. I would, like, go to the front and be like, ah. I'm like, I probably call Dennis. I'm like, oh, gosh, it's been the crazy. Because me and Darius would like go to concerts and like we're the type of people who show up early, mm-hmm. meet them way after. Like, mm-hmm. I know after an indie concert one time, we waited like 2 hours, like, oh, maybe he'll come outside and we could talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't come outside.
We were just waiting.
Yeah, yeah. But like, no. Nah. So it was like, it was actually kind of surreal though. Mm-hmm. It's like crazy. It's like, man, that's crazy. And so even now having an actual relationship, it's just like, mm-hmm. this is crazy. It's insane.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, have you talked to Lecrae and like told him the backstory?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's one thing that's crazy, him and all the 116, because they were there at that camp I got saved, they actually legitimately remember that camp.
Oh,
and they were like, no, we remember that camp, because they all, because what they used to do is say, like, say somebody would reach out and be like, oh, we want to book Lecrae. Mm-hmm. And then they'd be like, hey, we want to do a tour. So, you know, if you book all of us, you can book all of us for the price of one or for the price of two.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, it's a good deal. Here you go. All y'all can come. And so they're like, no, remember that, because that was one of our first times touring together. Wow. And yeah, they're like, they really remember. And so it's really cool even how they can remember a camp from 20 years ago, mm-hmm. not knowing, oh, wow, you still want to see your faithfulness mm-hmm. influence a child to come to that camp, get saved. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know that child.
Yeah, and then how you're influencing people.
Yeah.
Yes. Legacy.
Yeah. That's so it's really beautiful. It's even a testimony to like all of us to like give your yes, because mm-hmm. you really just don't know what's behind that yes, like yeah. a ripple effect. And so it's really beautiful.
Oh gosh, that's amazing. I feel like I'm ready to get into becoming, but you tell me to
yes.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and transition to becoming. Can you share what led to the change of your name from Wande to Anike?
Yes, so what led to that change? So ironically, so earlier this year we were going on a tour and like my schedule was busy with that. And you know how sometimes you talk to God, you're like, yeah, man, God, I'm never gonna forget you. I'm be with you, you bless me. But you know, this year I'm pretty busy, man. And so the tour ended up getting canceled. And so whenever it got canceled, I had a lot of free time on my hands.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I had blocked out everything, moved everything outside of the month. And so whenever things got moved, the Lord, he was like, oh, yeah, perfect. Now we have time. Let's talk. Let's consult. And he actually reminded me of my name. And so the origins of my name, originally Wande, the full name was Ye Wande. Ye means the mother, okay. Wa means of ours, and then Day means has arrived. So Ye Wande, the mother, has came back. Mm. And so at first I was like, oh, this sounds like a, you know, powerful African type name. But it really means like reincarnation.
Mm.
And like basically my name was like embracing, oh, reincarnation, all this stuff. And of course I love Jesus and I'm like inside that. I'm like, oh, Jesus, that. No, and so yeah, the Lord just been writing like, hey, remember your own name, remember all that. And yeah, I remember you're so busy, you're not thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I had that name since literally I was a child. So as a child, I got saved as a child, but you can't change your name in your reminder. So yeah, he just brought it back and he's like, hey, I want you to change your name, I want you to have a new name. Led me to pray with my mom even too, until she gave me some other names.
Mm-hmm.
And so that basically is what led to me. He said, I want you to change it. And I heard him say, like, you know, you're gonna go by Anike. And we just gonna go.
So your parents were accepting of the name change?
Oh, yeah, they actually. So once again, with the whole knowing your child, and it's so funny because I would expect like this, but when I told them, they're just like, all right. And it's just, I think it's kind of one thing where you just kind of don't know what to say, but then they just like, I feel like they just respect me and respect like how I honor the Lord and like how I live for the Lord until there's like, hey, you know, sounds like something you would do. So it's like, all right.
Okay, let's talk about these 6 months that you was consulting with the Lord, because you was blowing up social media during that time. Mm-hmm. Like that's when you was going in on sororities, fraternities. You was going in on weaves and wigs. You was going in.
I think I missed the weaves and wigs.
What
was the wigs and weaves?
So basically, it was just kind of like I was basically just God meeting God talking a lot. But the weeds and wigs thing was like, just kind of like having a life epiphany of like, oh, like what? Which also I had my full circle because I did a full circle research for the Bible. But at that time, the first initial bullet point was like, oh, there's women in certain countries, depending on where you get your weed from, where they donate their hair because they want to donate it to like an idol.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm doing this to honor the idol or whatever. And so they shave their hair like for spiritual practices. But then in the temple, some people are like, hey, man, I don't care about the idol. So then they're like, hey, America, are you trying to buy this hair? Yeah. And they're like, here you go. And then they just sell the hair because they have so much hair because all these women are like doing it for spiritual practices. And so then just kind of asking the question of like, well, one, I was asking people to like pray. I was like, hey, make sure you pray over your hair. Because you don't know what you did, or the person was tricked into doing it, or like poverty, like, oh, like, I don't want to cut my hair, but what's up, poor? Like, so even just the desperation. So I was just telling people, like, hey, you should probably pray or put it on your head because you don't know like what that person went through.
Yeah.
Especially like, if you're like, oh, yeah, I want the real version, like,
well, what's
the
my hair. Yeah, yeah. It could be a cult stuff.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. So I was just like prompting people to pray over their hair and stuff like that. So that was that. And then, it's like going on the hair journey too, all of us, like, you know, make sure you love yourself, all that stuff. And then my full circle moment though was because the Bible does talk about Paul, and he basically addressed it with like, oh, like he was talking about, can we eat the meat that's sacrificed to idols in the temple? So the answer that Paul gave was like, yes, but only if you truly believe there's nothing wrong with it. So if you're truly believing, your conscience is clear, like, nah, I really think it's fine, then you can do it. But if you're like, if you just because of how you were raised, like, if you just can't shake it, like, nah, it's wrong, then you shouldn't do it. And then if you're in close proximity to someone who was raised like that, and them seeing you makes them just feel, like, saddened and depressed, I'm like, oh, no, like, this is so wrong, then it says that you should abstain. Your brother, so that way they don't stumble. Because then watching you might be like, oh, well, she did it, so it's fine. Yeah. And then you'll cause them trouble. So that was a full circle.
Where have you landed in that process?
So, yes. So where I landed was I tried as much as possible to like take care of my hair, keep it healthy, all that stuff. But I think also the Lord, it's ironic, this week, right? So I was taking care of my hair or whatever. And then ironically, it was taking too much time because like right now I'm in a journey of figuring out
it's real.
And so the Lord was like, okay, this is taking too much time now. So we're now you can't do what I want you to do. So he's like, you can wear the wig. Like, I need to wear the wig until you can figure out how to take care of your hair. And then once you figure it out, then you don't go back. So I think he was like, I see your heart. I see that you want to, you know,
amen.
He's like, don't let this, your hair become like now. Too many hours and now I can't do what I'm telling you to do. So
I love you literally are consulting the Lord like step by step by step. But you were blowing it up. Like you were literally, I felt like every other week people were like going in on something you said on social media. So I have to ask, like, I mean, especially you stepped on toes with that. I'm sure
the sorority. I remember that one.
How did you respond? How did you handle that? Because I mean, like, in a lot, honestly, you were like literally calling out people's idols.
Yeah.
I know people were defensive. I know people had something to say, and you know, and it was them hearing from you, Anika, like the person, versus just, oh, I rock with Anika, I love her music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how did you handle all of that?
Yeah, I think. So the sorority one, I'm not gonna lie, that was intense. So because I got calls from personal people, so I know like there's women. So some people were very aggravated. But one thing that was cool was like I had just got through a season of like learning not to be offended. So because I know someone would have been like, oh my gosh, but because of that, while I was hearing yelling or whatever, I could hear people yelling. I'm like, no, we love you. And so the main thing I heard was, I love you and I care about you. I look up to you so much. And so ironically, the people who came at me weren't saying that I was wrong. What they said was, why didn't you minister to me first? So I saw you minister on the internet, but like, if you truly believe this, why didn't you minister to me?
Or like, come to you directly.
Like, directly. Yeah, so they were like, why didn't you minister to us first? So like, I get both sides. So it was like a challenge in terms of like, you know, you gotta pick up the phone sometimes, call people, but also at the same time, I recognize like, if I haven't talked to you in like 2 years or something like that, and you know, we don't engage, then like, and God tells me to do a word, I also have to be obedient to like what God told me to do. It's kind of like a music. It's like, oh, like, why didn't you send me the song personally? Like, why did you put it on the internet? So like, I had to market the songs. I think it was just like a challenge on both ends. I think I hear what they're saying, I respect that, and so it challenged me to like, whoever the Lord is calling me to in this season of like my siblings, all that stuff, like make intentional time to call them, which also means you can't be on social media all day because you can't have time to call people if you're on social media all day. But at the same time as well, like be obedient to like what he's telling me to do. So that's a hard conversation, but they also were like, no, I kind of agree with what you're saying. But you know, I wish you would have came from you at first. And then I also kind of realized different things I was like, navigating. I like posted a whole testimony video, so I like posted everything on navigating. But I know like they were like, oh, I think I asked you 2 years ago, and then you said, oh, I think it's just amazing, not every woman. But then they were like, now you said your stance is that you think it's across the board. And so I feel like, I mean, I was young, I was like super young, so I was like, hey man, I'm just navigating, I'm maturing every time. And so I think it's like a relationship thing, but I appreciate, you know, being generous. I feel like it helps you grow. I feel like it helps you develop and stuff like that.
That was huge. Kudos to you
for just being fearless. And just putting it out there.
Standing on it. And I would say even too, in the midst of like, because I know you like posted, if I recall, like a series of videos, because you were like actively responding to the feedback and the concerns that you were giving. And so I could sense your heart from it, where you were like, I'm not trying to offend, I'm not trying to judge, but like, this is what the word of God says. This is the personal revelation I've gotten. And this is the truth and love. So I commend you.
And I think it served its purpose, because if they had to think about it, you know, and really investigate their heart and do their own research, then I think it served its purpose.
Wow. Okay, so the name change, tell us, did that inspire, because your new album is self-titled, right? I don't even know the album. Albums, but your project is self-titled. So can you talk a little bit about what this project is like, what we can expect from it, and basically how it connects to just this whole journey that you've been on, really?
So so the whole album is basically about breakthroughs. Ironically, I was going to call it Breakthrough. And then whenever the Lord told me to change my name, it just made sense of like, oh, this is the name of the album. Like it's just showing you everything that the Lord taught me about like forgiving people, loving people, being fearless. You know, if he tells you to move, just different things like that. And just different things to walk me through. Like, I literally like fasted through the process of making the album because I was like, man, I can't play around. I gotta focus. I was like, really, like, I really wanted to meet whatever the Lord wants you to say on songs, not about me. I don't want no. Just like anything distraction, I really just wanted to like really touch people's lives, and so man, it really was like serious. I was working on it, and then also it was like, you know, seriousness to get it done, because like, hey man, you can't eat, so you gotta finish out. I'm really grateful that, you know, we're able to get it done. I think it was really beautiful. I think it really affected lives, even with people on the label, so even the label, the marketing team, them seeing that 6 month life transformation, even them were touched by like, man. I'm seeing the Lord working in real time. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, nah, this is real. And so one thing that's cool, made them go harder and harder. They're like, nah, this is like not. Hey, this is real. And like, all of us even had hard conversations and challenged each other too. I'm like, what does love mean? How do you run a Christian business? What does Christian business look like? You know, is it there? Is it not there? And so it's cool. Like, we had a lot of hard conversations, a lot of repentance. But it's beautiful too, because it's refined all of us to like a higher standard and like, truly loving each other, truly supporting each other, honoring each other, like, you know, on paper, different things like that. And so, but it's been a beautiful process. I feel like the Lord used me. It's so funny because I feel like now I'm hearing back, even like what you're saying about, like, oh yeah, how you, the Lord used to call certain things. I'm like, dang, a lot of things are kind of aligned with like being prophetic and like being prophetic, like how the Lord told me to call certain things out and like change things. But it's cool. Like, the Lord just kind of brought me through that season throughout the album. But You have the album, Bring You Through Breakthrough, and encouraging me to go on and encourage you to surrender this to what the Lord's will is for your life.
That's amazing.
Amazing. So I'm not sure about the years, how long you've been in the music industry, but since your time in the music industry, what would you say have been your major challenges, and how have you overcame those challenges?
Yeah,
challenges. I think challenges are, one, not looking left and right. I think starting with social media, like, you can, the Lord can tell you to make a song, and you can love it, but also you see people over here doing this, and they're blowing up and going viral, and you're like, oh, maybe I did the wrong thing, maybe I need to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's first thing. Now, this, and everything, you're like, oh, maybe I need to do that. So I think one challenge has been, like, literally just focusing and being content with, like, this is how God made me, my voice, this is the type of song he told me to make at this time, and, like, being content with that. I think other challenges too, like just navigating being a woman. I think that's one thing, like when you just navigate through seasons, like especially recent stuff, and like just with like men in the industry, because there is a level of camaraderie of like that a man would have with a man. Like, oh yeah, we just pull trash and stuff to men, and like just make songs all day. But I can't just be doing that, you know. I can't be like, we have a sleepover and stuff like that. So I think that will be challenging in terms of like learning how to be cordial, but still develop like a decent relationship to like collab with like your fellow artists and stuff like that. Because I don't know, I'm extroverted and introverted at the same time. So like, it's like sometimes I'm like, if I don't feel like welcome, sometimes I'll just be like just nervous. Like, you need to talk like as an artist and stuff. So I think just navigating relationships and stuff like that, because you need a form of relationship if you want to start collabing with people. And like, what other challenges? I think also just growing up as a woman, like while being on social media, while doing that, because as an artist, like, you can't be showing up looking crazy. So I think that's been a challenge of like navigating that, because I have learned how to do makeup, different things like that. Because like, you know, the budgets aren't always there.
Yeah.
So you have to figure it out. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, it's not possible to spend money on that. And so I think just like learning how to like dress myself, you know, look nice, look presentable. All that stuff, publicly facing things. So I feel like those are some of the challenges I like
went through. I mean, honestly, you really seem gifted in that area. Like, you have a sense of style that is like uniquely your own. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that wasn't always like you. You know what I mean?
I think it was me, but I had to get refined.
Got it.
I think when I look back at videos, I'm like, "Who is this girl? I don't know. I look back, I'm like, oh, I didn't know
you did.
Be like, yeah, you should hire somebody. I'm good. Like, yeah, you should hire somebody. So I think over time I was able to like refine it and stuff like that.
Makes sense. Okay, so you've been blazing a trail, honestly, for as long as I've known of you as an artist. I mean, like, literally, you talk about being challenged with not looking to your left or to your right, but, like, where God is taking you, I feel like it has really worked to your benefit, because you are, like, leading when it comes to not only women in, not just even in CHH, but just in the industry, but then also like sonically, you are making music that is unheard of. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I first heard Blessed, I was like, wait a minute. Why do I feel like I need to be in a club right now?
It's so dope. And even just like the visuals behind it, you know, the videos, all of that, like even, you know, Holy Girl Summer, like the Don't Worry About It.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Friend of the Family.
Portia. Shout out Portia.
Which was our first in studio guest. And all to say, like, y'all have literally like been leading the way. So I guess my question is, when it comes to like blazing a trail, even with what you just did with the Dove Awards, first Christian hip hop female to perform main stage, like, what is that like? Because you're not necessarily following in anyone's footsteps. So is it scary? Is it lonely? Is it exciting?
I think so. It's one, a blessing. So it's a lot of fun. I think two, it's like the result of staying faithful and being prepared. So I was saying,
it's like, I don't use the term pressure, but you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the Lord reminds me often of, like, taking things seriously, because whenever you sweat, he can set something your way, but if you're not prepared, then you miss it. So sometimes you're like, oh, God, why am I not where I'm supposed to be? And it's like, well, I sent you an opportunity, but you weren't ready. And so I think I definitely noticed that, like, for instance, like, Devil Wars, like, we kind of got hit last minute, and then we were out of the picture. So if we didn't have systems prepared, there's no way we could have made that work. So, like, prior preparation of, like, having a musical director, me understanding musical systems, me understanding how to edit videos, me having a choreographer and her being prepared, knowing how to facilitate people, all that stuff helped us be ready so that whenever they hit us up,
yeah.
I had reliable people who I could take care of. You know, get the choreography popping.
Wow.
And you do it in our part and be like, all right, we hope maybe the live mix of this. And then I worked on, like, the visual for it. And then we can all communicate virtually. I can rehearse all the rehearsals of the dancers in Atlanta. I'm in, like, Germany, you know, learning the dances.
Wow.
So it's like a lot of preparation because you can't want to give up. Like, technically, I'm on vacation. So I can have all the time, like, whatever. I want to do it or just do it. And so, I think the Lord just showed me, like, you have to be prepared, yeah. And just showed me, like, the fruit of continuing to walk in the steps he has for you. Because if you divert, like, when I divert, it's like, oh, I'm going to be secular right now, then I would have never known that, you know, there would have been a time where the devil would let me perform or, like, different things. So I think just the more you continue to walk in the path that he has for you, I'm starting to notice that he is faithful and, like, he will make a way, so, but you can't experience it, you divert.
Yeah.
So you have to stay on the path, and then you just have to continue just the preparation for what you have. So for me, it's like, okay, stay decently healthy so you can continue writing the songs and just continue just, you know, being a kind person to going up, trying to have assistance for the company. And, you know, whenever we have opportunities, then we just kind of use them to the best of our abilities. So, yeah.
So good.
And what has it been like being in the music industry with a spouse? That's such a blessing. At your age, you know, the single game out there is rough. It's rough. But you are blessed to be married. So what is that like on this journey?
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing. I'm definitely am blessed. I, like, am grateful. I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, it's definitely great having, like, your best friend with you, and I'm so glad to be down with your manager, and so
yes.
Even that's even better, because, you know, like, hey, I know you have my best interest in heart,
yes.
We together, like, so this is your family, too, so I think it's definitely a beautiful thing, just having someone who loves you, who cares for you, always there, being the shadow.
I like having people who are masculine, you know, I like the Bible, I talk about authority,
amen.
Like that. So I think that's a beautiful thing in terms of, like, I just want someone to be like, yeah, there's a man here, so
amen.
Don't act crazy.
Yeah.
So I also appreciate that as well, but I just think it's a beautiful thing.
That is, you're covering in your home, but, like, in your day-to-day work, your ministry.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. I do have to ask, we were talking a little bit about this behind the scenes, but how do y'all balance, like, the, you know, business with the personal? Like, you know, like you said, you're on vacation, you get a call for the Devil Wars. You know what I mean? Was it like, you know, was there any, like, tough conversations where it's like, okay, really, you're going to do this on vacation? Like, or, like, how do y'all navigate that?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, tough conversations, like, especially with that. I think that's the cool thing, too, of, like, having a spouse who understands, like, I guess God's calling in your life. So it was kind of like, but at the same time, it's like, no, I really understand, like, God wants to use you to do this, so it's okay. And then we'll figure out a part two.
Amen. There you go.
So, but I think, for the most part, we just try to navigate, like, so for instance, we try after 6. Not working. Well, obviously for me, you know, I love working. So, I just have to learn how to tell off.
But I'm working. I'm working. I'm getting better.
Getting better at it. So, but I think it's really the best thing to do is try to set hours. So, setting hours, like, you're working 9 to 5, and 6, and after 6, stop. You know, get the food, get the cooking. I'm trying to do better. So, in the morning, I might be like, oh, you know, cook, you know, do some dishes. Keep enjoying it.
I have.
So,
talking to her husband behind the camera, y'all.
I just trying to also see how I can enhance, be a better person. Obviously, I can't do it every single day, but, you know, I try. I think just being actual friends, and then I've learned the more that you love your spouse, the more that they appreciate and they'll do the same to you.
Yes.
So it's like, the more that you can try to like be selfless, which might not be easy at first, but the more you can do it, it really does pay off. Because like, I know the day I made the decision to be like, oh, let me not just make breakfast myself. Let me, you know, make an extra plate. You know, then he appreciates that. Then he's like, whenever he's thinking like the other day, then he was like, oh, you know, she's been so kind to me. Let me help her prepare some of this laundry.
I love it.
So I think it is a benefit whenever you try to be more selfless. Obviously, you get tired sometimes. But I learned that like that also helps the world, like just trying to like slow down sometimes and be like, oh, I'm doing this for myself. How can I also not just do this for myself, but also think about him whenever I'm doing
that? That is so good. Service. Yeah. Basically, serving one another, which like you said, is not easy. But, you know, the more you get in the habit of it, you know, prayerfully, your spouse reciprocates it and you know, just start serving each other more and more. So that's beautiful. Wow. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the squad, okay? I noticed more and more, and speaking of the Double Wars, I mean, you were intentional about sharing your platform with other women in the Christian hip-hop industry. And I see you out here showing up to releases and interviews, you know, supporting Child Like Cece and supporting Jackie Lil Perry. I mean, like, of course, Portia Love, like, y'all, we still went on the album, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are y'all going?
Okay. No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, like, literally, like, you show up for so many other women in this space. Like, first of all, you don't have to, but it's evident that you are intentional about it. So where did that come from? You know, why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I think it's realizing like this is legitimately ministry. Mm-hmm. I didn't go in our healthiest place or remember that as ministry. I think we lost the thoughts when we start being like, oh, you know, it's my platform, I can't be looking crazy, or oh, I can't be looking like I think that's whenever we're not healthy.
Yeah.
I think we remember like, oh, the whole point of this ministry school looks crazy. Like having a pastor being like, oh yeah, nah, his church is too big, so I can't associate, oh no, your church ain't big enough, so I can't associate. That's crazy. So I
feel like, happens. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and so I feel like though, like, I think that's why I support the women. And I just know what it's like.
Yeah.
So I think even if I don't know someone like that, I still probably just like intentionally. So I know some people are skeptical and be like, oh, she's being so nice to me. But you know, I try to just like intentionally show my thing with the consistency as well. Like, people see like, oh man, she doesn't really care. That's kind of crazy. And so, I think it's also just knowing. I know what it's like to be out here solo.
Yeah.
I would definitely appreciate it, like, any of that. So I just try to, with the best of my ability, share it along so other people share it, time with other people, show up for other people. But then, on top of that, just as Christians, I think, like, you can support your other fellow Christians, like, show up for them. That's the whole point anyway. Like, all we're doing is ministry, sharing the gospel, all that. So, like, definitely pull up for them. And so, with the support and stuff like that, I think I was inspired by the prayer because I realized that he, brought us out like 2019 when I first got started. He was like, oh, like, I'm going to remember this. And he was like, I'm not just going to share it for myself. I'm bringing it up. Wait a minute. He had conversations. We didn't know we were jumping around.
Amen.
So I was like, if he can do that for his other, you know, people. And I feel like that's a consistent trait that he's always done in his career. I was like, man, let me also take that wisdom with what I'm doing. And like, because he asked me, that also inspired me to be like, nah, man, I can't just go up there. I have to like have a part for my sister. And they're like, oh, you sure? Like, it's gonna take some extra work to like figure out the mics. And I was like, figure it out. And so,
I'll do it.
Yeah, and so it's really beautiful, like, just being able to have that moment with Portia and just even with all the other girls. And like, yeah, and even then, just being so down as well and not acting like, oh, like, it's beneath me or something like that. I think that was beautiful as well. Like, they were all just happy to be there, and we all got to like have some fun dancing. Yeah. They were down for the outfits and everything, and it just felt like almost like a bridal shower, like backstage. Like, it was so fun. They were helping me like with my outfits, and like we just got to chat and have fun the whole time. So it was fun. I was having it anyway. So I think I recommend it. It's more fun when you bring your friends. You have memories.
Yeah.
Then talking to you, like y'all can all like reminisce some memories. Like, oh, remember we went to Double Wars? So. It's definitely way more fun in the community. I feel like the devil can steal your joy sometimes and make you be like, no, it has to be like me. You'll have to see that I'm up here. Like, and y'all ain't touching this. But it's like, nah, it's more fun if we're all together because then they do it next year. You can do it next year. We can just keep rotating this thing. And like, it's way more fun. So,
and that's even evident of your character for even coming on Becoming Eva because, you know, we're not well known out there yet. But yet, you still made time and effort to come out here. So we are very thankful for you coming and spending time with us. This has been great.
Absolutely great. Okay, we're almost done. We're about to wrap it up. I do want to ask, we talked a little bit about this beforehand, but I mean, and I'm sure a lot of artists just in general have this experience with CHH when they are performing in more traditional settings. And, you know, people may or may not be responding or able to pick up everything. Like, how do you, like, how do you press through in environments like that where you're, and I saw what I loved at least about the Devil Wars performance is, and you can tell they were like, okay, we love what's happening here. We don't always get everything that's happening here, but we love it. I love how you were like, even with Yahweh, you were like speaking the lyrics, like, or speaking the verse or the hook, so that they could understand like what was being said, you know? And so like you really being intentional about breaking it down for the audience, but just talk a little bit about just being an artist in more traditional settings, like steps you take to really break through and connect with the masses.
Yeah, I think definitely in traditional settings, I try to be adamant with my outfits. I feel like this is my time to prove a point.
That's true.
I think so. That's like step one, because I feel like that can like mess things up. Like, I don't remember it first, like Maverick City. I did a thing with them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh,
no. It wasn't even intentional. Like, I had leggings and everything. And they had switched my order. So I was going to go last. And they like left. And they were like, oh, you want first? And then I said, hey, I just wanted to grab your clothes. And they grabbed my clothes and I put them on and I run out there.
Yeah.
And so the people who were there said, like, it didn't look crazy. But the camera angle is like from below. And so it makes it look like my dress is like short or whatever.
Got it.
And so for like normal, like people are like, oh, that's kind of crazy, I don't hurt or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for traditional eyes, right, it distracts to where like, yeah, I'm rapping about Jesus, how he redeemed me, everything. Yeah. But because of the dress, it's just like, oh, no, the dress, not, I can't. Yeah. And so I would say traditional eyes, step one, like, I would try to keep it modest. And then two, I think just breaking things down for me is easier. But I think, they might be like, oh, I'm not saying. I think I made that a little bit because of Nigerian church. So my mom goes to Nigerian church. And so sometimes I'm like, hey, man, I don't know what I'm saying, bro. I tell them. So I think that encourages me as well to like see how I can break things down. Or even that's why I wanted to design the screens for the Doves, to be like, let me put some words.
Bless,
to help. Because I think people do want to support, but it's like, I don't know what to say. It looks kind of like the world, and they're like, So, trying to bridge those barriers, but also, you know, also not compromise, like, who God made me to be. I feel like that's the journey as well. Like, let me not water it down for the sake of, like, making me feel better. But at the same time, let me honor, like, knowing that people come from different backgrounds.
Amen. I love that. All right. Well, last question for now. Any advice or words of wisdom that you would give to either women that aspire to be recording artists or are already in the industry and just trying to make their own way? Like, what advice or words of wisdom would you give?
Yeah, I would say, one, just start. You know, I think people want to support you, but they need something to support. So post some music, post some things, go on YouTube. YouTube can teach you tutorials on how to record, all that. Try to invest in equipment so you can. Save up for a computer, save up for a microphone, because that will change your life. You can keep that forever and keep making songs over and over. I would also say, don't feel like you have to wait on someone to like make your move. I feel like that was something I felt like I had to do. I felt like, oh, well, I have to do whatever the producer wants or whatever. Like, if I want to do a song, like, if they want other people on the song, that is what it is. Like, I can't afford no beat. I feel like, oh, this person's gonna be the opportunity that's gonna, like, you know, make big, my big break. But realizing, like, nah, it's the Lord who can, like, basically elevate your career or, you know, whatever breakthrough, to whatever level you want you to be at, you know? So just realizing, like, the Lord has the final say. So for you, just be faithful, make the songs, actually drop them so people can actually support them and actually share them. And just continue to be consistent because you'll grow and develop more each day.
I have to ask, do you have any marketing branding tips? I feel like you're on point with that.
Yeah.
So
the best marketing, I would say, like, with besides being consistent, you can put hooks on your video, so hooks are sentences you want to talk, so try something relatable. Mm-hmm. If you're funny, jokes are great. People love sharing jokes.
I think I would also say if you can do something related to an artist, that can help you grow faster as well. So like doing a cover of one of your favorite artists' songs, even Christian artists, like doing a cover of them, because then I might see vice versa for anybody else in the industry. And you will open verse trying to do that. I don't know how I'm Caleb Gordon. And I mean,
that's a good one.
So, like, different things like that also are really helpful. So, definitely do different things like that. And they can definitely help.
I love it. Tori, you got anything else?
This has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So we have a segment on Becoming Eva called Noble Character, where we typically like our guests to recognize a woman that has inspired them, doing amazing things in the community. But this episode, we want to nominate you as a woman of noble character for the example that you have set for all to see, being a Christian in your household when, you know, that was not a popular thing in your household, and, you know, going hard after Christ and being authentic and original in the type of artist that you are.
So. And just being like a humble human being, like really being personable and approachable and having a heart for God, like a genuine heart for God, as you're blazing this trail in the industry, like that is rare. So I'm just grateful. Just grateful to have you in the kingdom, grateful to have you in the age, and just, yeah, grateful to just call you a sister in Christ.
Thank you.
So, CK, you are a woman of noble character. Love it.
Yes.
Well, y'all, I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. So, as we mentioned, this is the finale of season 9. So, we're going to take a little break, y'all. We're going to refresh in case you remember or you forgot. I'm right here. I got four kids. So, she's going to go, your mommy, and, you know, handle life, you know, and I'm about to get some rest and decompress. So, we're going to see you, Lord willing, in 2025 to start off, kick off season 10. But in the meanwhile, go back, check out previous episodes, you know, go online.
Anika.net, and then from Anika.net, it'll prompt you if you want to join my email list or text list. So, yeah.
Yes, y'all, that's some good stuff right there. Sign up for that. So, you got a lot to do this holiday season as you are waiting on season 10. So, but yeah, y'all, it's been a pleasure. So, season 9 is officially a wrap, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, and as always, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys next season.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.